Great, let's turn back to that passage in Jeremiah chapter 2 on page, I think it's 914. And Joel, what'd I say?
Jeremiah.
Let's pray. Yeah, you see, we're going to need prayer for help today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this new year. We thank you today that we can be thinking about the pouring out of your Holy Spirit. That through him you teach us more of yourself, more of your more of your wisdom, more of your grace, more of your strength. Father, we do pray that you would help us to understand and to live for you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sadly, we live in a world that is full of fractures and so often, sadly, is full of prejudice and hatred and discord and relationship breakdown. Be that in families, be that in communities, be that between countries. And we know in our own hearts that sadly again, they can so often be tainted by prejudice. That we can make judgments about other people on the basis of the colour of their skin, on the basis of the way that they talk, on the basis of where they've come from, on the basis of their age, on the basis of their gender. It's easy for us to look down on people who are young or people who are old. Maybe there are issues of wealth and social class. We're very instinctively drawn to people who are like us. We find it more difficult to get on with people who are different from us. Maybe you've experienced that in your life. I'm sure many of you have. Most of us have at some time. We feel we've been marginalised or ignored or the victim of prejudice just because of what we look like or the way that we speak or whatever other factors it might be. And sadly, there's nothing new in human society. It's been all down the ages. I guess historically, it's often been rich men in any dominant culture being able to look down on others, able to exploit others, to steal from them, oppress them. And into that very sad situation, we get this absolutely extraordinary promise that God gives through the prophet Joel. Let's look again at verse 28. In fact, we're going to read verses 28 and 29 together. Let's read this together. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. So say some cultures may elevate youth. Some cultures may elevate age. Most cultures elevate wealth. But here God says he's going to pour out his spirit on all people, whatever they're like. Young, old, rich, poor. So far, if we'd read through the Old Testament, God's Spirit had just been poured out on particular people who were equipped to lead at particular times. So when Joseph is in Egypt, God gives him the Spirit. When Moses is called to lead the people out at the Exodus, God gives him the Spirit. Bezalel, who builds the tabernacle in the wilderness, he's given God's Spirit in order that he can do that. And then Joshua and some of the judges and kings. But now, wonderfully, God is promising to pour out his spirit on all people. And that's my first kids' question. Children, my first kids' question. Who does God promise to pour out his spirit on? Who does God promise to pour out his spirit on? It is a great text that we have for the beginning of 2023. Now, maybe you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're here just you're investigating the Christian faith. Well, I wonder what you make in our broken, fractured worlds, what you make of this text. Does it just seem like a pipe dream that God would pour out his spirit on this? Or can we see a reality in this world? Well, let's just remember, I know it's a few weeks since we've been in Joel, and we've had Christmas and other distracting things, so let's just remind ourselves of the prophet Joel. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. So back at the beginning of the book, just come back to the first page, we're told that the word of the Lord came to Joel. So we're told that God uses Joel as a prophet. He speaks to Joel, and Joel then speaks to the people. And you remember that at the heart of Joel's experience had been this terrible locust plague. So in chapter 1 and verse 4, we read this. What the locust swarms has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, the other locusts have eaten. These locusts had utterly destroyed the harvest, all the grain, all the grapes, all the wine. It was all gone. And with it, really, the hopes of the people. Surely the people's joy is withered away, says Joel. But Joel says, actually, I don't want you to focus on that day. I want you to remember that terrible day when the locusts came through, that terrible period, because it just seemed to go on and on and on. What I want you to focus on is another day that is coming. And that is the day of the Lord. Let's read just beginning of chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be again. He warned them that, yes, there'd been a terrible day of the plague, but now something worse was coming. That God was coming in judgment, like a terrible army. And we thought, those of us who are Lord of the Rings fans, there's a great army coming to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And God is saying to Joel, look, this is the big day. This is the day that we need to focus on. This is the day we need to be ready for. The day when God comes in judgment. The day of the Lord. And then in verse 12, what are they to do about this? Well, chapter 2 and verse 12, where it says, rend your hearts. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. Here he reminds them of God's great compassion, God's great grace. God is a great God of mercy and grace. He's slow to anger. He abounds in steadfast love. He relents from sending a calamity. And so he exhorts them to cry out to God, to turn back to God and away from their sins. Over the page in verse 16. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. It's a great call to come together, to cry out to God in mercy and pray for his forgiveness. And then we get the most amazing turning point. Up to this point, it's really been very much doom and gloom. There have been these terrible locusts. And Joel says, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse because God's judgment is coming. You need to cry out to him. But as they cry out to him, there is this wonderful moment in verse 18, where it says the Lord's answer, if you've got a church Bible in front of you. Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I'm sending you grain, new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. Here God promises wonderfully to bless the people. As they cry out to him, he is indeed slow to anger, bounds in steadfast love. He wants to bless them. And we thought about the fact that we saw this wonderful, when was this fulfilled? It was fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought about the fact that that crowd of 5,000 people that he fed, the great wine that he produced at the wedding of Cana, I think 600 litres of the very best wine. How in his death he destroyed the forces of evil. Jesus came to bring this blessing and this promise. And now, in the verse we're looking at, he promises more blessing. And so my first point, pouring out the Spirit on all people, pouring out the Spirit on all people. So as I said, we've read this verse, chapter 2, verse 28. Afterwards, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. I say up to this point in the Bible, the Spirit only really come on key leaders, on Joseph, on Moses, on Joshua, on some of the judges. But now there is this one flesh that God is going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, on all people. Sons and daughters. So young children, often ignored by society. No, they will receive God's Spirit. We're told of old men and young men, the older people. So some societies venerate youth, some societies venerate age. But God says, no, they all can receive my Spirit. They trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even on my servants, again, so often, you know, we look up to the people in positions of status, the wealthy, the people in positions of power. But no, God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all sorts of people, even servants. I tend to be at the bottom of the sort of social rung. God is going to pour out his Spirit. God promises his presence, his life-giving, his life-transforming presence of his Spirit. His presence that cleanses, that empowers us to live for God, enables us to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And we know that these verses are fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit is poured out on Peter and the other apostles and the other believers so they can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. They can come and prophesy. And they did indeed prophesy. They did indeed talk about Jesus. So my second kids question is, when did God fulfill this promise? When did God fulfill his promise of pouring out his Spirit? And as we read through the book of Acts, I think it's in the autumn, we saw that it wasn't just for the Jews that God's Spirit was poured out on the Samaritans. We get a bit further in Acts and we see God's Spirit is poured out on the Gentiles, on the non-Jews. God's Spirit is poured out on all different types of people, young, old, rich, poor, Samaritan, Jew, Gentile. And of course, that has continued all down the years. As we see in churches all over the world, people of all different backgrounds. Here today, we've got people from all sorts of different backgrounds. People who are young, people who are old, men, women. It's wonderful. God has poured out his Spirit. He doesn't show prejudice. He doesn't discriminate. He pours his Spirit out on all different sorts of people. So I don't think even today, even in countries of great persecution, North Korea or Afghanistan or Saudi Arabia, there are still believers. God isn't discriminating against those people. There are still believers, young, old, in those different countries. God has poured out his Spirit. God has grown his kingdom. So it is now a worldwide kingdom. There are people from every tribe and tongue and nation. Young, old, rich, poor. People of great social standing, people of little social standing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, what does it mean that God has poured out his Spirit? So we read here, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Does that mean because God's Spirit has poured out us, we should be having these experiences? I think it's fair to say this is really a poetic way of saying we are going to know God better. So you remember, as I say, Peter says this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when God's Spirit is poured out. And we see how the Spirit goes out in Acts, to the Samaritans, to the Gentiles, to everybody. And yet actually in the book of Acts, I think I'm right in saying there are only three dreams that are recorded. You can come back and say, oh no, there are three. I think so. Ananias gets a dream to go and talk to Paul, who's just been converted. Peter gets a dream to take him to Cornelius, the Gentile, and Paul gets a dream or a vision to tell him to stay in Corinth and keep preaching the gospel. I think those are the only three. So anyway, if you know others, do come and tell me afterwards. But even though you don't get many people having dreaming dreams, you get lots of people who certainly have a new, saving, intimate relationship with God and who talk about it. So, yeah, we all certainly get to know God better and can speak about him. And I say that continues to be the experience of millions of people today as they have received Christ, know Christ better, know that saving knowledge of him. There's a wonderful sense in which, yeah, we dream dreams and see visions. We understand God's plans better, and we can tell people. Josh and Bella were talking about how they're going to be planning to do that in Southampton over the next few weeks. Those two Christian people become Christians. They now know God in a new way, and they can then speak of God to others, and pray we'll use the mission to do that. I know that's been the experience of many of you here, that you know Christ and you want to speak about him. God's Spirit has indeed been poured out on all people, all over the world, all different people. That doesn't mean every single person, it means all different types of people. And it's clear this offer is on for anybody who calls on the name of the Lord. For all who believe in Christ, doesn't matter whether we're men, women, young, old, doesn't matter what we are on the social pecking order, wherever we are, whatever we've done, if we put our trust in Christ, we will receive God's Spirit. We will know God's presence. And all the benefits of that, the ability to pray, we're talking about the resurrection in our adult Sunday school today. We know through the power of the Spirit that we will be resurrected. And it's without discrimination, it's without bias, it's without favoritism. It's on black, white, rich, poor, old, young. And I hope that's also a challenge to us, because sadly, even though God doesn't discriminate, even though God shows no bias or favoritism, sadly, so often we in the church can. And so I hope we took a challenge from that. That as God pours out his Spirit on all sorts of different people, we too should be welcoming all sorts of different people and seeking to share the gospel with all sorts of different people. Let's pray for us that we would follow God's example, follow God's action of loving all sorts of different kinds of people, seeking to share the gospel with them, seeking to love them. So Joel looks forward to the pouring out of the Spirit on all flesh. And then he gives us some cosmic warnings. Verse 30. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And we see these really in the life of Jesus Christ. There are plenty of wonders on the earth as we think of all those miracles that Jesus did, his healings, the feeding of the 5,000, the calming of the storm, the raising of the dead. We see wonders on the earth. And then, of course, when he died, indeed, the sun was turned to darkness for those terrible hours when Jesus was on the cross. God has poured out his Spirit. There have been wonders in the heavens and upon the earth. My next kid's question. What happened to the sun when Jesus died? What happened to the sun when Jesus died? So Joel is saying, as we look the other side, Joel says, promises these things, and as we come the other side of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can see these promises fulfilled. And so we come to the end of verse 31. What does this all point to? Well, it all points to the fact that the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So as we see the Spirit being poured out all over the world, so we see people being transformed by the Gospels, we hear of Christians, people becoming Christians in Southampton, we should think, oh, that means the day of the Lord is coming. So we think about the wonders that Jesus did on the earth, we think about the sun being darkness, death. That should make us think the day of the Lord is coming. And we need to be ready. And so Joel gives us the great application. What does this all mean that the Spirit has been poured out? What does it mean? The wonders that Jesus did, the sun being darkened. It means that the day of the Lord is coming, and it means that we need to call on the name of the Lord. Verse 32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. From Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said. Call on the name of the Lord. There will be deliverance from Mount Zion and Jerusalem. That's where God's, in the Old Testament, that's where God's presence was. You remember that Jesus said that he has replaced the temple. He said, destroy this temple and I will build it up in 3 days. So where is God's presence when Jesus is on earth? Well, through him. And so we call on his name. We call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. There is salvation. This is the wonderful thing, Joel. Even though God's judgment is coming for all our sin and our rebellion, now, Joel tells us, there is salvation. We can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. There's not doubt. If we call on the name, we will be saved. The Apostle Paul picks this up in Romans chapter 12. For there is no difference, he says, between Jew and Gentile. He's making the emphasis again that this is about people from all the different nations. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to confess our sins. Call out to him. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. My final kids question, Joel. Children doing the kids questions. What must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? And so as we come to the end of the sermon, the simple question that we all must answer is this. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you called on the name of the Lord? Not, I go to church, or, yeah, my family go to church, or my parents are Christians, or, no, the question is, have you called on the name of the Lord? I'd love for Thomas to go round and ask each one of you, but that's not a very British thing to do. But have you called on the name of the Lord? That's the key question. At the beginning of 2023, have you called on the name of the Lord? Because that is the way of salvation. We're not saved just because we're in church. We're not saved because we think we're nice people. No, we're saved through Jesus' death on the cross by calling on the name of the Lord. And so I want to exhort you, if you haven't done that, you think, well, no, I never really have done that. I want to encourage you, please do so. And please, you won't think, well, how do I do that? But you confess your sins, acknowledge that you need God's saving work. Do come and talk to me afterwards. And if you've done so, that's fantastic. Well, let's give thanks to God that there is salvation. There is the pouring out of his Spirit. And let's pray as we are praying for the guys in Southampton, that we have opportunities to tell people about the gospel, to tell people about the Jesus, to encourage them to turn to him. Well, I've left you a discussion question. It's a very short discussion question. Have you called on the name of the Lord? But let's pray together. We would indeed do that and help others to do that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your grace and generosity to us. Heavenly Father, we've been reminded of your righteous judgment by your prophet Joel as he saw that great plague of locusts and then pointed forward to the day of the Lord, that because of our sin and rebellion, Lord, we deserve your judgment. But we praise you that we can still call out to you even today. We praise you that you are slow to anger. You are abounding in love and generosity. We praise you for your promise that out of the outpouring of your Spirit, we praise you that indeed we can see your Spirit being poured out on all people around the world, young, old. It hasn't been restricted just to men or just to adults or just to the rich, but people from every country, every age, every economic background have received your Spirit. And Lord, we pray for those of us who have received your Spirit. Help us not to be prejudiced. Help us not to be biased towards other people. And Father, as we see your Spirit being poured out around the world, help us to know that it means that your day of judgment is coming. Help us to cry out to the Lord, Father, to call upon your name for deliverance and salvation and rescue. And Lord, as we do that, we pray for ourselves here. We pray for Bella and Josh in Southampton. We think of the Browns in Bologna. We think of our partners and colleagues in the other churches around Wanstead and Woodford and Leighton and Walthamstow. Father, please, we pray, for your mercy. We pray that many would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.